Our presentation today is entitled Hopes and Fears by Reverend Matt Aspen, and this presentation relates to our sixth principle. I welcome Reverend Matt.
Good morning, everyone. It is truly, truly good to be here with you this morning. Blocked slightly by masks, but together nonetheless. Welcome. 3 weeks from now, our nation will be marking the 20th anniversary of the 9/11 terror event in New York City. One of those moments in our shared history where it's safe to wager that anyone that experienced the trauma of that day can still recall quite clearly. This past week, we also saw the Taliban return to power in Afghanistan, a regime that our government told us for the past 20 years was one of the prime incubators of the attack, a place that we needed to invest significant resources to ensure it never again became a harbor for terrorists that seek to do us harm. According to the BBC, in this past 20 years, the United States has invested upwards of $978 billion. We have lost over 2,300 of the 775,000 U.S. soldiers that have been deployed, and another 20,000 have been injured. We've also estimated that over 64,000 Afghan military and police have been killed. I don't know about you, but none of that makes me feel very safe. I'm quite sure that the Afghan citizens that have watched the Taliban sweep back into their cities don't feel very safe today either. Time was, I had very little personal experience with this type of violent overthrow of government. Of course, that all changed on January 6th of this year when I saw an angry mob led by an individual bent on consolidating power for their own gain come inches away from doing just that. I've also now lived through my first global pandemic, although I can't say I've lived through it, because despite our best efforts, a large swath of the folks in this country don't currently have enough faith in our government to adopt the solution that seems to many of us to be the safe and obvious choice to lead us out of this mess. All of this makes me long for the simpler days 20 years ago, when I used to do all I could do to warn folks about the future challenges of climate change if we didn't adjust our ways. Of course, these days, I wish my fellow activists and I had done a better job of selling those warnings, because the future we predicted back then seems to be just about here. Thanks, Reverend Matt. This was just the ray of sunshine we hired you to bring into our lives. We'll get to that in just a moment. But in this moment in history, as you and I begin our time together, I think I would lack any shred of credibility if I didn't begin with an honest reminder of the challenges going on outside of the walls of this gathered society before I share my hopes for the future and why I have been chosen to invest this next portion of my one wild and precious life here with you. I am here because I believe that this small but mighty society may just contain the seeds of change needed to heal all of the ills that we can see so clearly infecting the larger world of which we are just a small part. My favorite definition of a leader is quite simply someone that people choose to follow. Prairie is a lay-led community. I am choosing to follow you because I believe that your collective efforts are striving to lead the travelers that happen upon your caravan in the generally right direction and may form the basis of an emerging model that needs to be replicated more and more across this land if we are to ever change the trajectory that anyone taking an honest assessment knows is pointing us in kind of the wrong direction. You have hired me to minister to you. I believe that my job is to strengthen and provide additional support for each of you and for this community as a whole, as you collectively seek to embody the ideals and live out the mission that membership in this chosen society requests. Now you may ask yourself, why on earth would you think that the solution to all those enormous problems you listed at the beginning could possibly be found here at Prairie? And that is a fair question. But my hope, you see, is based on the concept of fractals. You will come to find over time that I strive to gather most of my ideas these days from authors and thought leaders that hold marginalized identities. I've read and loved the ideas passed down from William Ellery Channing and James Luther Adams and the Transcendentalists and all the other brilliant thought leaders found in the early history of the UU faith tradition. But as pivotal as these thinkers have been in helping us to create much of the best parts of who we are today, there must be something missing. Despite the monumental advances that have been made based on the framework that they created for us, it is clear that we still have some major gaps in our thinking, because the shared outcomes we are seeing in the world are still falling short of their loftiest visions. If you keep doing what you've been doing, you'll keep getting what you've been getting. The brilliant author, women's rights activist, and black feminist Adrienne Marie Brown wrote in her powerful book, Emergent Strategies, "Whatever future we have articulated that we want to create, we have to practice it in as many aspects of our current life and work as possible. This is what brings our vision to life." Read that again. Whatever future we have articulated that we want to create, we have to practice it in as many aspects of our current life and work as possible. This is what brings our vision to life. Brown consistently refers to the concept of fractals in her work, offering us the reminder that the larger world we experience is made up entirely of smaller parts that contain all the same patterns that we see at ever-increasing scale. The world under the microscope looks the same as the heavens through the telescope. The rivers on our planet, when photographed from above, contain the same patterns we find branching out through the veins on a leaf or within the veins in our bodies. The largest patterns in nature are never anything more than the smallest patterns in nature, amplified. A little side note. When I visited my friend Mary Franz the other day, she was carrying a copy of the latest edition of Scientific American under her arm. I noticed that their focus this month was also on fractals. I took this as a sign that not only had I found my people, but just maybe my thinking for this sermon might actually be headed in the right direction. The lesson here, and the reminder, is that the change we want to see in the world can and must begin at the smallest level. It begins within each of us. It begins with the ways we practice loving ourselves, and then how we strive to bring that love into our relationships with other people. This is the source of strength that we need to cultivate to survive whatever challenges this world ends up throwing us next. Whether it's another separation caused by an extension of this long-suffering pandemic, or something worse that we can't even imagine yet. I believe those of you who have built and maintained this society over the past 40 years have created an amazing foundation for the type of small stone, big ripple, society healing work that I'm describing here. In a world that has been ruthlessly designed to separate us into more and more isolated pods, you have become a model of what is possible when people turn towards each other. You work together. You play together. You take responsibility for maintaining and updating the structures that are required to keep a community like this connected. Your caring committee actually does care and checks in with you to make sure you're safe. I'm looking forward to helping support them in that process. You invest in creating nurturing spaces for the children of this community. One of the few remaining places in this world where they can feel safe and loved while supported in their struggle to make sense of the challenges inherent in coming of age in this world at this moment in history. From your mission, We, the members of Prairie, wish to associate ourselves together in a religious community which affirms that we share a common humanity, that we need one another, and that our futures are inescapably bound together. Folks that have been here from near the beginning of this place, you've created something that inspires hope in this world, a commodity that is needed now perhaps more than ever. Those of you that have been here for a shorter time, you've likely already begun to see what this collective can do when it comes together for a shared vision larger than any one of us individually. You've worked together and sacrificed to complete a beautiful update on your shared home. You've hired an amazing DRE that is inspiring our children week after week. And you've navigated the very real challenge of overcoming significant differences of opinion to get to the point where you collectively decided to call this community's first full-time minister. And I thank you for that. No one is perfect. Times change and needs change. The fact that you are still here, stronger than ever, is testament to the fact that you have built a foundation that is both grounded in the power of relationship and flexible enough to continually adapt and change as the world around you changes. I sense a hunger here to maintain what is good while continually looking for what is needed to make this place feel like a safe refuge for more and more seekers. I hope to learn from you this year. I would love it if at the end of my contracted time with you that we both decide that our relationship should continue, and we can continue to widen the circle of this society to extend the positive ripples out to the wider Madison community and beyond. But even if we don't decide at the end that this is the place that I should be, know that my intention will be to bring all of the lessons that you teach me by your example to another part of the UU system and ultimately to the whole of our denomination. That is how good change happens in the world. One way or another, the most life-giving aspects of this small society and the efforts that you each contribute to its life will ripple through the rest of our shared world. You are not alone. We are here together. We are not the only ones that maintain our hope of the Sixth Unitarian Principle. The goal of world community was peace, liberty, and justice for all. I've seen encouraging movements towards this goal in some businesses, definitely in parts of the nonprofit space, and the messages coming from community organizers and from the Unitarian Universalist Association. But it all begins here. As Adrian Marie Brown reminds us, small is good. Small is all. The large is simply a reflection of the small. This prairie is currently small. Let us each continue to strive together in all that we do to be a model worthy of expanding to the all. Blessed be, and may it be so.
Please stay up. So we have a few minutes for discussion, actually quite a few minutes.
Another thing I would add to that is that no single individual ever gets to that focus of a moment in history on their own. Martin Luther King, Rosa Parks, Harvey Milk, all of them had groups of people behind them, supporting them, strengthening them, encouraging them. It is individuals that make some of those moments. It is the communities that support them that give them the strength to do so typically.